Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. And Adam McKelvey from Brewers.com and MLB.com now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. How you doing? What's going on, buddy?
Hey, I'm good. I'm just riding the wave of Christian Yelich.
Isn't everybody at this point, right?
Yeah. You know, yesterday I saw him. I was down there. I had some MLB Network in the afternoon. So I was down there early, and I was surprised when he came out at 2:30 in the afternoon. That's really early for a superstar player who's playing every single day. And Andy Haynes comes out, and they hit, and they keep hitting, and they keep hitting, and they keep hitting. And, you know, a full hour of swings. I went in there, talked to him about it a little bit, and I thought, I'm going to wait. Instead of writing this before the game like we do sometimes, I'm going to wait and see if he does something in the game and then, you know, write it then. So he did something in the game.
To say the very least. We were sitting here talking before. Look, as great as that story is, the Brewers can't continue this in which they're trying to get they're trying to get a pitching staff to be able to kind of hold teams off. They can't go out and score 7 to 10 runs a game. Are you getting concerned about the rotation?
Well, look, I mean, they're going to have to be better than they've been for this to work. I think that is completely obvious. The best ERA of the three young guys right now is tonight's starter, Brandon Woodruff, at 6.00. I mean, that's not going to work over the course of the season. I think that's obvious. But the point I think that Craig Counsell has been making, that Mark Attanasio made the other day, is that, this team at certain points is going to have to take some calculated risks. And that I think this rotation, the way Mark put it, the way Counsell has put it, choosing three young guys counts as a calculated risk. They saw enough in those three pitchers last year in the major leagues and in their track record coming up through the minor leagues that made them believe that they're going to be successful at the big league level. And the way I think about it is either you want the Brewers to develop their own pitching or you're not patient enough for that. Because so rare is the instance where the guy comes up from the minors and dominates. And I think you can look through every team that has a homegrown guy and look how many of them had periods of big-time struggle early in their careers. And you have to live through it. And it is, yes, it is really tough when you're all in, when the chips are all in, as Mark said, on the first day of spring training. And every game the Brewers have seen the last 2 years, every single game could be the game that gets you into or out of the postseason. And it's really, really difficult to live through these ups and downs that you're going to have with the young guys when every game feels so vital. But that's the only way you develop your own guys. That is the only way to do it. And so that's the discussions that are going on right now. Obviously, you can't do this for months and months where your best of the three is a 6.0 ERA. But again, they feel like there's better performances ahead if they stick through this. And once you commit to these guys going into the season, look, you're committed, and you're committed beyond three starts apiece, four for Freddie Peralta. So I don't know if that number is six or 10, I don't know what the precise number is, but there's got to be a longer leash to allow these guys some room to have the success that they believe they're going to have.
Do you think that there is a time frame in which they look at this and go, okay, we can't go on like this?
Well, you know, I think they're all interconnected. So it depends on, you know, look, if one guy continues to go bad, if Corbin Burns, for example, continues to just get absolutely killed by home runs, and the other two guys start doing better, well, look, then you think about making a move at one spot. If you're a more veteran guy, Chacin and Zach Davies are able to pitch well. Zach Davies so far has been one of the big bright spots of this, not just the pitching staff, but the entire team. That helps you continue with a young guy that's struggling to gain a foothold. But, you know, again, this game, it requires this long view, and it requires big time patience. And again, I don't discount how hard that is to do when you're in a win now sort of mentality. But I'm telling you that that is the only way to develop pitching. And if you're going to criticize the Brewers, which I know the Doug Melvin years involved a lot of criticism of not being able to develop pitchers, of being really good at bringing hitters up to the big leagues, but not pitching. Look, these are three guys that they think are going to be good for a really long time. And if you want them to be good for a long time in a Brewers uniform, you got to live through this stuff at the front end of their big league tenure as starting pitchers.
Obviously, Christian Yelich, Lorenzo Cain have been fantastic. Is there a concern with Travis Shaw, Jesus Aguilar, a little bit of Ryan Braun? I'm not saying that anybody's going to be sad anytime soon, but they're struggling, to put it mildly, yeah, at the plate.
Yeah, no, and it is. You know, I think this offense deserves some credit for being as good as it's been, with some pretty big holes in the middle from guys that they expect to contribute. I didn't look yesterday. When I looked the other day in L.A., they were 10th in the league in runs per game and like 7th or 8th in homers per game in OPS. So, I mean, they're a top third offense right now. But there certainly are some pretty big gaps in the middle, and that typically is going to really impact your ability to score runs. I think it speaks to how good Cain and Yelich have been, that they've scored as much as they've had, and now more recently how good Yasmani Grandal has been, and to some degree Orlando Arcia has been kind of at the bottom, that they've scored as many runs as they have. Aguilar, to me, has been the hard luck guy. Like in that West Coast trip, there was tons of like loud outs, line outs right at the left fielder. He feels close. Travis Shaw does not feel close, and he's banged up somewhat. He was hit on the hand in that opening series against the Cardinals, then again in Anaheim. That hasn't helped, but he does not look comfortable at all at the plate, and he's missing fastballs you're not used to seeing him miss. He is definitely searching right now for a good feeling at the plate, and the hope was that the other day he had a line drive off Max Muncy's glove at first base at Dodger Stadium, and it was two big runs and a nice charged win and sealed a series win for the Brewers coming off getting swept in Anaheim. It felt like a big moment for Travis Shaw. Unfortunately, the couple of games since haven't been very good for him. So he's really searching. And look, last night against Dakota Hudson, that's a pitcher that really, we saw it last night, really struggles against lefties. So Travis Shaw was set up for success last night, and it didn't happen. I don't know if concern is the right word, but there certainly is an urgency for him to kind of find a good path forward, because he's been a productive hitter for this team. Look at those, the slug numbers the last couple of years, the home run numbers, and he's, a good player at third base defensively. So he's a big part of what they're doing, and he definitely has not gotten going yet.
I also wanted to ask you about, we talked about Aguilar, Travis Shaw. Arcia has been a guy that has given pop at specific times. He seems to be like he's ready to bust out. Do you get that sense?
Well, look, I mean, bust out is, we'll see. He's had periods where he's been successful at the plate. I keep saying that he just needs to give them a little bit offensively. Just like hit enough to justify being out there in the field, because he's so good for them defensively that his value is probably for his entire career going to be defense. And if it's more than that, which, he was the number one prospect, you expect a complete player when a guy attains that status, that's great. But I think that's even like a bonus. Hit a little bit, and they can very comfortably throw him out there at shortstop every night. So he's got to avoid the lows that he's experienced over the last couple of years, and that, last year got him sent down. And I think it is encouraging that he's hitting the ball. It seems really obvious that when he hits the ball the other way, when you see him driving the baseball to the right field, even if it's like flyouts, that's a good sign for him that he's going to enter or that he's in a good period at the plate. It's just how to sustain those, then that's been elusive for him so far in his career.
Also wanted to ask you about Freddy Peralta. I mean, last night we saw again where if he doesn't get out of that first inning, he tends to struggle. This has been – is this now in his head, do you believe?
I don't know. It's a weird one. Remember a couple of years ago when Zach Davies had this, and he came up with – so he found that he was really struggling at home in the first inning. And so he created this schedule where he started warming up earlier as if it were like – as if you were sitting through the top of the first inning on the road while your team bats. And it created this, like, great solution for him. Now, I don't know. Freddie seems to be both home and road. I don't know if they have anything in mind. It just stands out to me an example of a guy who tried something creative to get over that. Maybe it was a mental thing for Zach Davies. Maybe it actually was a physical thing where he needed a second to kind of let his heart rate settle down before he got out there. I don't know what the answer is. I know they're working really hard on it because I agree with you. It's pretty obvious that that's his bugaboo. And the game that he was so good in Cincinnati, you know, it was a 9-pitch, 1-2-3 first inning against the Reds, and off he went. So they need to come up with some sort of way for him to have a clean first inning and get into a game because, you know, like we were talking about earlier, this pattern is not sustainable if it continues for Freddy Peralta. The start in Cincinnati was a great glimpse of what he can be when he's really good, and hitters are very uncomfortable trying to hit that fastball when he's putting it in the strike zone in good spots. But when he doesn't, he's in big trouble because he's so fastball dominant. They can sit on that pitch, even though it's moving all over the place, and have success when it ends up right down the middle. So they are definitely looking for solutions to try to get him through some clean first innings so he can, you know, get into the season and find a little bit of consistency and find a role a little bit because he hasn't had that so far.
Great stuff as always, Adam. Look forward to seeing you at the ballpark, and we will talk again soon. Hey, by the way, what did they name that puppy? Do we know?
Yelly.
They're going to name it Yelly. There's nothing wrong with
it. They're going to name it Yelly. I thought Old Yelly would have been good for the older listeners. But, yeah, Yelly. You know what? I mean, geez, what a story.
I know.
The guy is just, he's got something every day. And he, you know, he's got all these commitments. He's out there hitting for an hour. He was drenched in sweat. They bring the dog and he delivers this dog to these people. So, pretty good, pretty cool story. I'm curious what other signs we're going to see now at the ballpark. If these girls got a dog, I'm sure there's some other kids around the city that are thinking of good ideas. So I think we're going to see some pretty creative signs at the ballpark now.
Good stuff as always, buddy. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, see ya.
Appreciate it. There you have it. Adam McCalvey, Brewers.com and MLB.com joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And if you want to join a great team, go to Schneider. Schneider, 844-PRIDE. Go to SchneiderJobs.com. 844-PRIDE. Go to SchneiderJobs.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.